Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Just over 2 years ago, August 23rd, 2023, the Triumph Board voted unanimously to award up to $8.5 million to the city of Panama, The funding supports the design, renovation, and completion of a facility that will create and maintain 170 new high-wage sustainable jobs. And what's amazing is that we stand here today and we see this project come to fruition.
This is a big day yesterday. Out at the port, you saw the grand opening, ribbon cutting, implementation, activating, turning the switch on. I don't know what metaphor you prefer. For the Center for Maritime Excellence, the centerpiece of which is American Magic. It is a city-owned facility, but it is going to be, you know, obviously leased by American Magic. They're going to use it for all kinds of things. 150 jobs they're going to create here in town. 20 jobs or so are going to come from the port people. And this is Jay Trumbull Sr. He is the Triumph Board Chair. Triumph, in case you forget, is the organization that oversees the $1.5 billion that's been made available to distribute to Panhandle counties and cities for projects that diversify our economy after the oil spill. That's BP oil spill money. Anyway, Jay Trumbull Sr. You've heard of Jay Trumbull. His son, Jr., is a senator, and his dad is the chair on Triumph. And so, you know, don't get him confused. But, yeah, they are different people.
So this facility is owned by the city on behalf of its residents. It's leased by American Magic. Today, with American Magic and our economic development partners, we've secured an additional $40.6 million in matching funds.
And you know, lots of money's gone into this. In fact, it was kind of funny. Collier Merrill, who was doing the emceeing for the event, at one point kind of mentioned that there was a lot of money that had gone into all of this because, like, Doug DeVos, you know, the Amway family heir, one of them, and, you know, owner, they own the Orlando Magic, they own American Magic, you know, it's a theme in the money or in the naming, and, you know, they have billions of dollars of wealth. And he says they really have been pioneering this, and they have been investing a lot of money and losing a lot of money in some ways.
But none of it would have happened without our next speaker. And I say that, first time I met him, you know, we were talking about putting a little bit of money here and there, and he was thanking us. I said, yeah, but you're putting a lot, like a lot, like maybe 100 million, maybe more. I don't know, a lot of money goes in. I was like, you know, business guy, like, what's that ROI look like? Zero. You talk about a love of...
What's the ROI on your 100 million? Zero. You talk about a love of the sport, right?
Stop. Oh, but now, I'm saying, you know, that's a love of sailing. I screwed that up, didn't I?
I screwed that up. I shouldn't have said anything. Because, you know, they were kind of, one of the themes along the way throughout the event was talking about the, you know, the difficulties they encountered and the, sometimes the challenge was to, you know, take care of the challenge, bury the challenge, bury the shovel, bury the challenge, you know, that kind of thing. And so that's why he's joking around about that. But yeah, Doug DeVos was there yesterday. I actually got a chance to meet him and he talked about, you know, the history of getting to this point and how, you know, not every time you invest in a project that you do out of love of the thing, it turns out the way you're hoping it will.
You know, this began as a dream a while ago with Hap and myself and Roger Penske and Terry saying, hey, let's go to the America's Cup. We thought that was a great idea. Maybe not the best judgment, Hap.
In case they did not win the America's Cup, in case you're wondering. That's what he's talking about.
Maybe not the best judgment, Hap. I don't know. But we thought that was a great idea.
And then also, like, subsequently, we've now declined to participate in the next America's Cup for political reasons. That, I mean, that's not all American Magic does at all. In fact, that's a misconception people have. But, you know, betting so much money on participating in the America's Cup.
Things didn't quite end the way that we hoped for in New Zealand after the 36th America's Cup. So we said, well, we got to do this one more time. things didn't quite end the way we hoped for at the end of the 37th America's Cup either. So that's when we kind of talked to each other, okay, maybe we need to change course or do something different here. But what an experience we had.
And I will tell you, just a personal story. So I was an Amway distributor for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, something like that. Anyway, and I, you know, never particularly made any money at it, but it was one of the best experiences of my life, you know.
Were you a door-to-door salesman?
No, no. Oh, no, I was, but not with Amway. I sold books door-to-door for the Southwestern Company in the summer after my undergraduate year.
Oh.
So, yeah, no, I've done that. That's brutal. I mean, that's like...
That is.
Rough. Yeah, I would not do that again. But it was also a great experience, really. I mean, taught me a lot. Not fun, but valuable, right? They're not always the same. Anyway, so I got a chance to talk to him and tell him. I mean, I credit being an Amway distributor with... You know, basically making me a conservative, making me a Christian. You know, I know my wife because of, all right, I was able to keep my wife. I would have met her and known her anyway, but I became the kind of person that could have kept her because of my participation in that, you know, that project. So, and I told him, thank you. You know, he said the sweetest thing. He said, you did the work. I mean, you know, he's, I mean, really genuinely, you know, great person. So anyway, they're talking about what it took to make this happen. And again, he's like the money interest behind all of this. And so him, they're from Michigan, but also with South Florida and their or Central Florida, and their willingness to invest in Pensacola. And the universal reaction by all of the people involved in this project is, oh, my God, Pensacola. You know, like this, not just because we have this amazing water that is unique in the world to provide the kind of training and experimentation and testing and practice ground that it does, but the people, the city, the attitude, the just sort of all of it, they universally say is amazing.
So when we kind of do that as a sailing community, we, to a certain extent, are overjoyed and maybe even a bit surprised by the amazing response we got here in Pensacola.
That's you.
And what we have seen happen since then at the city, at the county, at the state level, to see all the representatives here, all the people here who've been part of this, I kind of keep pinching myself, going, oh, I hope we don't screw this up. And as was outlined, we have responsibilities here. You've invested in us. You've created an amazing platform, an amazing opportunity for us as an organization. And we intend to be part of that future, just like we are talking about.
Yeah, and I mean, that again, that was a universal sentiment from Terry Hutchinson, the president of American Magic, Andy Thompson, the sale GP managing director, more on that in a second. You know, Jay Collins, the lieutenant governor, was there, and he was talking about how great this is. Of course, James Uthmeyer was there, the attorney general, talking about the governor was not here yesterday. I did get to meet both James Uthmeyer and Jay Collins.
You did?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we're besties just yet, but...
Why not?
No,
did y'all not go out
I don't have any issue with Jay Collins, you know, and I think I couldn't quite tell. I didn't talk to either of them extensively. I mean, it was like a 30-second conversation. I couldn't tell if James Uthmeyer knew who I was and things I've said about him or not.
People will tell him.
I thought maybe he did know when I talked to him. That's okay. You know, I'm willing to shake hands with almost anybody. I say that because there are some I would not. Anyway, so what is it exactly? And I know for a lot of folks, you kind of, you know, you've heard the announcements, you've heard the jobs, you've heard the sailing thing, and you still kind of wonder, well, what is it? Okay, I will be honest, even I didn't fully understand the what it is, and I'm sure I still don't fully understand the what it is, but the concept of American Magic as an entity is much bigger than the idea of a sailing team that flies under the name of American Magic, because the idea is that in order to build these sailboats, these incredibly advanced pieces of machinery, they have to design, they have to fabricate, they have to do composite manufacturing and testing and control processes and just a whole bunch of complicated things aside from the sailing athletics and the know-how to make these boats go really fast. And so their idea is, hey, we can do this for anybody. We don't have to be doing it just for sailboats. Now, we can do it for sailboats, and we will do it for sailboats, but you know, we can make things for the military. We can make things for airplanes. We can make things for anybody in the general public that has a business or they need something fabricated, designed, engineered. That's us. We can do all of that stuff. And that's what this is all about. It's not just about a home base for a sailing team. It's about the skill set and knowledge and expertise that the all of the people involved in making that sailing event happen or that sailing, you know, vessel happen, that can be applied to other things. You know, think the teams that make these Formula One cars, they know a lot about mechanical engineering and electronics and physics and aerospace, right? What if they took all of that and turned it into an available skill set to develop almost anything with their relevant expertise? That's the idea. That's where the 150 jobs are, is all of that stuff in connection with UWF and connection with PSC and all of that. So, and, you know, having this facility is really a sort of a one-of-a-kind place. Tyson Lamond, who's the CEO of American Magic, explaining that, you know, this is, there's nothing like this anywhere else in the world to have all of this under one roof. And again, to make it commercially available, but also to, you know, defense and aerospace and whoever wants to make, take advantage of our expertise.
American Magic Services, as we sit here today, was found to basically use the skill sets of the team members in the commercial market. In 2025, it was focused on aerospace manufacturing, marine composite repairs, and project management, all from a temporary facility at the Port of Pensacola. As we look forward to 2026, we're excited about the opportunities in the composite manufacturing and maritime technologies sectors. We've just signed a long-term aerospace contract and we remain connected to the maritime industry while exploring how we can bring our technology into the defense space. In 2026, we will also offer design services to the commercial marketplace, another great way to introduce our cutting-edge America's Cup technology that we have developed over the last 8 years, thanks to Hap, Doug, and Roger.
So I don't want to get ahead of the facts, but once upon a time, Northrop Grumman wasn't Northrop Grumman yet, not really, right? It wasn't what it is today. Once upon a time, you know, a company like Boeing wasn't what it is today. Or, you know, pick a major industrial producer of high-end, whether it's weapons or technology or, like, again, anything. Well, those all start somewhere. So American Magic is this racing team with this entity around it that has expertise that they're going to use and develop, whether it's marine applications or whether it's aerospace applications or whether it's, you know, defense applications. And I don't know if it's going to happen in this way, but you could see this facility become the home base for something that, you know, in 10 years could be a multi-billion dollar mammoth entity in that space, potentially. That's kind of the picture of the future, at least the way I see it. Whereas I think for a lot of people, it's, okay, we have a sailing ship, and they go really fast. And that's all this really is. It's not what this really is. The other thing that they announced yesterday, and this was unknown, this was a sudden announcement, so, you know, pay attention. This was a big deal, is Terry Hutchinson, who is the president of American Magic.
I'm pleased to announce that for the next 5 years, Pensacola, the city, the bay, and this facility will serve as a North American training base for SailGP.
Yeah. Now, if you're the average person, I suspect that your response is, why is that significant? John, do you know what SailGP is?
No.
Okay.
Have no idea.
SailGP is a league for racing 50-foot catamaran foiling ships. So they go 60 miles an hour on the water. They go faster than the wind. I mean, 60 miles an hour. Think about how often do you have 60 mile an hour winds? Never. Right? So they go really, really fast. And it's Formula One type competition on the water instead of on the land. So they go to all these international locations, whether it's London or Melbourne or the Emirates or, you know, anywhere in the world, they have this racing circuit where they compete with these ships, these boats. They have 13 teams right now. They're expanding to 14. That league, if you want to call it that, like, again, it's the highest end racing there is on the planet. Their training center is going to be right here in Pensacola for the next 5 years.
On behalf of the SailGP co-founders, Larry Ellison, the founder,
heard of him,
of
Oracle
Corporation, and
Larry Ellison,
one of the great sailors of all time. Thank you for welcoming us here today in Pensacola. Today is a special day for our Global International Sailing Series. We're delighted to announce, as Terry has just said, that we're signed with American Magic, for the first long-term training base with high-performance foiling F-50 catamarans to be permanently based here in Pensacola from the end of this year.
So So not only did we grand open the American Magic facility, but, oh, by the way, SailGP partnered with us, and they're now turning Pensacola into their year-round training center. So these teams will come here two at a time and practice and train and take advantage of the amazing natural resource we have in our bay and also the technology and innovation that's going on in the training, the athletic conditioning, all of that. So, I mean, kind of a big deal. So this was a huge day yesterday. And, this, you know, just to give you the picture, it's on the outside, it just looks like a big warehouse. Yesterday on the inside, we had, I don't know, 300 people. And it was everybody was there. Everybody was there. From not only around the, I mean, Bert from Bert's Chili from Waffle House was there. Like, just kind of a huge day yesterday for Pensacola kicking all this stuff off. And, you know, it's going to be really exciting to see what this develops into. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
VapoCool. Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. VapoCool.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You need someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now you can meet them fast on ZipRecruiter.
Build your team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, get ready to heave, Felix.
Good morning, 527 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on a Thursday. We've got David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Protests breaking out again yesterday and more expected today after an ICE shooting in Minneapolis. An agent shot and killed a 37-year-old woman in her vehicle. The incident was caught on camera by witnesses and it's been all over the internet. Federal authorities say Renee Good was shot in self-defense after she attempted to run over an ICE agent.
Yeah, so I've watched the one video that made the most rounds. I probably watched that 20 times, at least the initial incident, because it's very hard to figure out exactly what happened and to assess it. There's a second video that was from the front right, basically. And here's what happened, okay? She was out there blocking the street, apparently. They say engaged in sort of making an impediment of herself throughout the day to ICE activities. And I think it's her wife, actually, that is outside filming and is the one who's yelling. At least that's what I have read. And so, you know, they're kind of experienced agitators, let's say, or observers, however you want to say. I don't want to say things that are biased in the interpretation, but I think that's a fair description. So they pull up on her and they say, hey, you know, get out of the car, basically because she's blocking the way. And then one deputy or one ICE agent goes around the front. One ICE agent goes up to the door, grabs the door, keeps telling her, get out of the car. And she backs up and then goes forward, hits the accelerator. As she's hitting the accelerator, which means she's running at the front ICE agent, she's turning the wheel to go away. And that front ICE agent, as she goes forward at him at that moment, draws his weapon, fires. She then is turning. He keeps firing. And then she's killed and she drives off into some cars. From his point of view, I understand exactly why he shot her. From her point of view, I suspect that she was not trying to run into him, but instead trying to get away. But she was bad at it. She definitely hit him. The second video clearly shows that. It's It's awful. I mean, it's just it's awful all around. She should have obeyed them. Okay, she shouldn't have run towards him or into him. I think it's understandable why they shot her, and it's also I wish they wouldn't have. I wish they wouldn't have felt the need to. It's just it's awful all around. Sorry, David. I just having watched it so many times, I kind of describe it. But yet, anything else you want to say about all that? Because it's really a Rorschach test. Some people are looking at it and saying good for them, and some people are saying, oh my God, it's murder. Get out of our city, which is what the mayor said.
Yeah, the response from the mayor yesterday was very very interesting. So we'll see what happens.
Vehement, at least I would say for sure. All right, David. Thanks so much for that update. Dave will be back after Fox News with local updates.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The city of Minneapolis on edge. People angry over the death of a woman shot by an ICE agent.
City leaders have identified the woman during the ICE operation as 37-year-old Renee Good. She appeared to be blocking traffic at the time of the incident. The ICE agent involved in the shooting has not been publicly identified. President Trump called the shooting a horrible thing to watch and accused Renee of violently, willfully, and viciously trying to run over an ICE officer who shot in self-defense.
Fox's Lucas Thomason. Lawmakers in the Senate voting on a resolution rebuking President Trump while trying to thwart further military action without congressional approval. Nearly every Democrat supports the move. This is seen as symbolic, would have no traction in the House. Pennsylvania Democratic Senator John Fetterman, previously joining Republicans to oppose curbing presidential strikes in the Caribbean. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 63 degrees and looks like cloudy skies reported right now. There is a fog advisory, so we'll get our full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way here in just a few minutes. Well, the Port of Pensacola celebrating a huge milestone yesterday with the unveiling of the new American Magic High Performance Center. The 56,000 square foot facility features racing yachts, repair rooms, training spaces, direct access, of course, to Pensacola Bay. Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins was at the ribbon cutting yesterday. He discussed Florida's maritime leadership, saying Florida builds more ships than anywhere else in the nation. Now, that center will support training, watercraft development, manufacturing, and ocean science research. Magic also announcing their big partnership with SailGP, which features 13 teams which compete globally. They'll be using the facility as their home base for the next 5 years. The center should create about 170 high-wage jobs with average salaries exceeding $100,000. And officials say the partnership will drive economic growth and tourism for the area. Well, a high-speed pursuit in Baldwin County Monday ended with a multi-vehicle crash and a fire. An Alabama law enforcement agency trooper attempted to stop a 2024 Chevrolet SUV for failing to maintain its lane on I-10. The driver refused to stop, leading to a pursuit along I-10 and Alabama 180. And Alabama 181, that is. The SUV then collided head-on with a Toyota and then struck another Chevrolet SUV at an Alabama Highway Patrol vehicle, and a Ford truck. The pursuit then continued on to I-10, where the SUV hit yet another truck near exit 38, left the roadway, hit a concrete barrier, and became engulfed in flames. The driver, 42-year-old Ruben Costa of Niceville, was arrested. He's charged with attempting to elude first-degree DUI assault, leaving the scene of multiple accidents. Five people total were injured in that chase. Well, the Crestview Police Department rolling out some new AI software to generate police reports from body cam footage. Crestview City Council recently approving the $120,000 expense for software called Draft One. Their chief, Steve McCrosker, says it'll reduce report writing time by anywhere from 20% to 40% and allow officers more time to be out on patrol. However, some critics warn that software does raise serious questions about accuracy and reliability. A police department in Utah reported that the AI generated a report stating an officer turned into a frog. Attorney Steve Letho says officers will still have to thoroughly review their reports before they finalize them. The chief said that officers will be required to edit and proofread all of those reports. It's 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are under a dense fog advisory this morning. Fog should burn off as you go into the late morning with a small chance of a isolated sprinkle. Otherwise, cloudy skies, high today near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. We're still looking at a small chance of rain for that Friday. 20% chance of rain, high near 74. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Heading into Saturday, 80% chance of those showers moving through, especially as we head into the afternoon and evening, high near 72. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Stick active, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV website. App. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 5:35, we've got 63 degrees. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve. Especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions. Because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:37, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Thursday. Yesterday, had a good chance to talk with Mayor D.C. Reeves about a bunch of things. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Really. Hey, a couple of things that are sort of follow-up things. One is, I think you and I, when we talked, was it last week? The weeks kind of blend together a little bit. Maybe it was the week before. But we had talked, it was the last week. We talked about the Portland Loos. And I had thought maybe they were going to be actually operational at the skate park and on Palo Fox at the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza. I went and looked, and they were still contained off from the public with, you know, they were installed but not available. And it looks like that's actually going to be Tuesday is when both of those are going to open up. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. So they're already down. It looks like they're ready, but obviously doing the final trimmings and everything like that. And so both will be operational. So if you go to Palo Fox Market on North Palo Fox, you'll be able to use it, but not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And but it'll open on Tuesday, and then same skate park will open on Tuesday as well.
And some of the things, because you and I were kind of talking about this off the air, some of the things about this that I had not remembered or realized that the technology is really quite innovative, right? I mean, everything from the light that they use to the fact that you can see through them at the floor level. I mean, these are not just casual design elements that happened. They are intentional from a city that developed them, that they really work well for a high population homelessness / misbehavior, right?
That's right. I mean, what we did was you really have two choices. You could either do a brick and mortar situation and I think, specifically from a safety perspective, I think it proves pretty difficult. And if someone were to lock the door behind them, something like that, it's a pretty hard thing to keep safe. And so fortunately or unfortunately, all of the technology from being able to see feet, you know, underneath it and above it, but obviously having privacy, the lighting, All of those different things make it easy for our police to see if there was anything that shouldn't be happening there. And again, it just got developed over time as Portland or other cities started to see those issues. So that's why we wanted to go with these. Is they're easy to clean, easy to maintain, and easy to keep safe. And that isn't the case necessarily with your typical brick and mortar building that you might see at an old community center outside, for example.
Yeah, I mean, everything from you can obviously tell if there's two people in there shouldn't be. You can obviously tell if somebody has been in there an awful long time. You can see that somebody's in there. As you say, it's very easy to clean out, spray out. It's very simple to maintain. And even the light overhead makes it hard, for example, for a junkie to see their veins because of the way the light is designed. And those are all – and there's other elements too. But, like, those are all things that I had not thought of, and you kind of explained to me. I thought, oh, well, that's actually kind of genius, really. Unfortunate that it has to be, but, you know, genius nevertheless. We didn't have a chance to talk about this before, I think, but obviously the Drag Queen Christmas came and went at the Sanger. Other events came and went. You and I, when this had become kind of a discussion, and I know that the people who were protesting and demanding had basically asked, is there not a way we can have a clearer delineation of, you know, acceptable content at the Sanger? And that was something they were asking city council to take up as an initiative. It's obviously not on the next week's agenda, but is that something that you intend that the council will take up as a, hey, how can we avoid this in the future kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, not necessarily from my desk.
Okay.
And the reason is all things in general, not speaking to a specific event, the hiring of an operator to be making decisions and those decisions not be swayed by people in office, I think is a generally good concept. These are folks that know how to organize, that know who to call to get shows in general, in a general sense, not picking one that you like or don't like.
Sure.
And the second that the government starts getting involved in, whether it's saying, I believe Drag Queen Christmas should happen, or that the next night that there should be the church service like there was at the Sanger. Do you want your elected officials, I don't mean today or whether you agree with me or not, but over time to be picking winners and losers as it pertains to what content, artistic content is taking place? I don't know that that's a win-win. In one moment, it might seem like a good idea. In the next moment, it probably those same people might think it was a terrible idea. So I think that having that arm's length, more than arm's length, between government officials selecting what we believe or perceive to be art or not art or is probably not the best strategy. Now, there already are things that protect there can't be, you can't turn it into a strip club. You can't have nudity. You can't have, and of course that didn't happen on the 23rd and it hasn't happened. So I want to be clear. It isn't that you can do anything you want. But when you start delving into this is content I approve of and don't approve of, I just think it could be a pretty slippery slope if we're looking long term.
Obviously, Palafox closed down on Monday. We are in the midst of massive, reconstructive surgery, putting in the storm drains, grading the streets so that it actually runs toward those what will be, a stormwater system, all of the resurfacing and, of course, the renovation, all of that. But I have two questions that have been proposed to me. They're a little bit wingnut-y kind of questions, but I think you'll like them, and I'm curious what you might say. The first one is, somebody asked me, the light at Garden and Palafox and the light at Main and Palafox, for the next 5 months, there's no traffic going from Palafox through those intersections. Would it not be possible to change the light pattern or make it, flashing red south-north and yellows east-west? Is there a way to make that intersection or maybe even, subsequent intersections that are close by there? I know it's a state road, at least Garden is, but for the duration, is there a way to make that intersection work more efficiently?
Yeah, that's a good observation across the board. And first of all, you never have to qualify wingnut questions. I get those from you, regularly. So,
okay, I just have an Andrew question then.
That's a good one. I'll have to ask our public works team. And you're absolutely right. There's a clear delineation between a state. It might take me 5 months,
just to work through the deal.
Federal road or state road, not because they aren't helpful, but just it's a little more laborious to get something going on a state light. If we are controlling the Main and Palafox light, that might be a little bit easier. And this is, of course, where I would make the joke that if you actually are the person that has been for years driving around trying to find a parking spot on Palafox, you would know this, that if you go northbound, my joke is, you know, don't worry, that light's only like 6 seconds at Garden Street anyway. So,
right.
You know, it's going to clear out pretty quick. So you may not even notice that we haven't turned it off, given the fact that you only about
same.
Three cars, it feels like, get through there.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
so,
right.
But anyway, no, that's a great observation. I don't have an answer to that. It could be already done, or no one has asked about it. I'm not sure how, but we definitely will.
Okay, the other one, and this is definitely a wingnut question, okay? My theory about the Palafox closure is this gives us a chance to see what – it's the closest experiment we're ever going to get to seeing what a pedestrian district would look like on Palafox, because some people have said that's what they
right.
would want to have happen. But it made me think, well, sometimes for events, we make Palafox an open container district. Like for, you know, gallery night, mm-hmm. for example, you can walk around with your open container of alcohol. Would it be useful to consider making that same rule nights right now on Palafox, certain times maybe as a regular pattern, because we have now a no car zone and you don't have to worry about the interaction between people drinking in cars? Would there be a value, would the businesses like having an open container district on Palafox since we have it closed to vehicles?
Again, something we can look at. I think from a geography standpoint, you know, I think we've seen the map. We know where the fencing is going to go. We
yeah.
know all of that. But we kind of want to see it live, you know, to see what kind of before we do too much programming as it pertains to, you know, what do you do at the end caps of streets?
Sure.
We just kind of want to see how people are flowing from that perspective. You know, the open container district, you know, listen, we've got a lot of things to enforce in the city, lots of ordinances, lots of rules, lots of crimes. I don't think that that we have a reputation or that we are notorious for writing a lot of open container tickets, but I think it's an important rule to have down there because of the volume of people. So that one might be a little touch and go. It just depends on who's filing for it or what the request is and all of that. So we're open to anything, and I think that's what I'm most excited about is we've really proven that. I mean, we've gotten going. We said we were going to get going. And we want this done by May 24th, and we continue to roll out from a marketing standpoint, communication standpoint, signage standpoint, that'll go on the fences now to give you, it's a, basically a directory going up and down Palafox to tell you where to go. All of those things have been very intentional, and we've been working, and agents have been working really hard on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll continue to be open-minded about anything that could be helpful down there for sure.
I guess for me, the only reason I was thinking of it is in the vein of trying to find ways to generate more traffic downtown to make up for what they might lose
right.
from. And, you know, hey, if we're having, you know, regular parties on the Palafox and, you know, Palafox temporarily becomes Bourbon Street for 5 months, pro or con, you know, that's what I was thinking is maybe that's a
right.
way to sort of generate interest and participation and revenue, obviously, for these businesses that we assume are going to suffer somewhat through this this closure. Last thing, big topic, obviously today is going to be the big event at the port where we're going to have, you know, not only the grand opening for the American Magic facility, but some other announcements that you hinted at, but I'm very eager to find out what those are. Just again, for people who may not grasp this, and even I admit that I don't always fully grasp the significance of this, maybe in a couple of minutes, just explain, why is this such a big deal for us?
Sure. So the best thing to think about is think about American Magic as not just a sailboat and guys that get on a sailboat. Think about it as a brand in sailing, that it's one of the lead innovators in the world as it pertains to sailing. So one arm of their brand is the actual sailing part. And again, they'll have some very exciting announcements about how they will be on the world stage within competitive sailing. And then the other part is this innovation in manufacturing, literally building sailboats, built technology, the simulators that they use to not only build boats themselves, but work with other major companies to build boats. So there's this entire industry of innovation and manufacturing, especially the composite, on the other side of this. And both of those things will be taking place inside the new building, Warehouse 10 at the port. And if you heard Tyson during the press conference yesterday, you know, he mentioned that this is a very unique thing in the world to have all of those activities for one company happening under one roof. That is not something you see in the United States, and something you rarely see all over the world. So really, it goes back to what I've always said since we've been really hustling for this. When I started just a couple weeks in, was basically this plants our flag as really a preeminent sailing destination in this country, and one of them in the world. And I think you'll learn that even more with the announcements that are made today and next week. You'll continue to hear some things from American Magic rolling out that continue to galvanize that reputation. And I think when you see the crowd of people and the folks that are flying in from all over the world in the sailing community that are going to be here in Pensacola today, we'll give you some good symbolism of that as well. So very excited for today. It's been a hard project and complex project for everybody on the city team, but this is a day of celebration, and we're glad to cut a ribbon and get this place open.
Outstanding. Looking forward to it today. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. So question number one for you is, how are your spices organized in your kitchen? Are they alphabetical by genre? The latest one gets put in the front. Do they have a drawer? Do they have a rack? Are they, you know, cluttered, organized? How would you describe it?
If our citizens of Pensacola had a mayor that had time to alphabetize the spice rack, then you should be asking more questions. It's whatever goes. It's a high above, kind of above and right of the stove pull out drawer that you just stack them in there. They're in the order of populist vote. You know, whatever I need the most is up front.
Okay, so essentially no order other than popularity determines who's the most available to you. Okay, that's kind of how I do it too, so I appreciate that. Do you send or like to receive voice notes, which is not a text, not a phone call, but somebody records a message and then sends it to you like a mini podcast?
I don't mind getting them. I've been a little leery sending them, not for really any reason. I don't know, maybe it's just I'm old school, but I don't mind them. I don't mind getting them. It actually helps me save a little time sometimes.
Okay, all right. And last question, how loud should a sneeze be? How loud are Mayor D.C. Reeves' sneezes? I feel like when I'm talking about Reeves' sneeze, I'm almost in Dr. Seuss land here, but go ahead.
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, mine's pretty loud. You know how you say it? Mine sounds exactly like my dad's, actually. I don't know if it's a genetic thing, but it's annoyingly loud. So I always do, instead of a bless you, I usually give out an apology.
And oh my God, I'm so sorry about that.
Whatever.
Well, is your mom a loud sneezer?
Average.
Okay. I would say it's not genetic, but it's just good parenting. A dad teaches a boy how to be, and you know, your dad taught you how to be a man in your sneezes.
Right, get everybody's attention, you know, whenever I need to sneeze. Exactly, yeah, it's good.
Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, look forward to talking again next week. Obviously, the city council agenda review and also the meeting are next week, and we'll learn more about that. Plus, the American Magic event today should be fantastic. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon, and I hope you don't sneeze.
Same here.
That was yesterday, of course, so the American Magic event was, in fact, yesterday, and really quite a fantastic event. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need any kind of work done in your home on the plumbing, on the air conditioning, on the heating, on the electrical, a generator, something installed, you know, whatever the case may be, Peden, they can take care of you. They stand by their products, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Good quality people, good quality things that they put in. And they've been around forever. You know, 1969, Robert Peden started the company in Panama City, grew both in product line and in geographic location, from just being air conditioning to being all the things I mentioned. And now everywhere east to Tallahassee into the eastern time zone, and everywhere west over onto, not just into Pensacola, they've been here for a long time, but they crossed the water a couple years ago and went over into Baldwin County. I mean, that's on our side, but across the state line, and then across the water into Mobile. So they are all along the Gulf Coast, everywhere you live. Anywhere close to our listening area, of course, they are involved, and you can call them and get their stuff done. Also, right now, you can beat the annual regulatory price bumps with Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale. So New Year Old Stock, take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Call or book online with Peden, PEADEN.com.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money.
Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
After a storm, portable generators are a helpful, temporary solution until power can be restored. Remember, 20-20-20 to keep safe while using a generator. Keep your generator 20 feet away from your house. Wait 20 minutes for the generator to cool down before refueling. Purchase a $20 carbon monoxide detector to protect you and your family. For more tips on hurricane safety, check out the Hurricane Guide at floridadisaster.org/guide.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Sunday afternoon, the American Red Cross is offering adult and pediatric CPR classes. Upon completion, participants receive a 2-year certification meeting national requirements. See redcross.org for more. Each January, the Quayside Art Gallery showcases artists who joined the gallery in the previous year. Check out the local talent all month long at the gallery on Zaragoza Street. See quaysidegallery.com for more info. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up.
I know.
This is the stuff that drives me crazy.
This is Francesca Ballastelli. I just love the lyrics. This is great. Give it one more second. I want you to hear the hook.
This is the stuff that gets under my skin.
I lost my phone. You know, I just...
That?
Who makes a song about that? She did. It's great. 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. House Speaker Mike Johnson urging Minneapolis citizens to stay calm after that deadly ICE shooting yesterday. The Republican told reporters he'd seen the video and said it was a really sad outcome.
It appears to, I guess, anybody who sees the video from certain angles that the driver of the vehicle weaponized that vehicle against law enforcement officers and against bystanders. It was a dangerous situation.
And, of course, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said the woman was protesting ICE when she rammed her vehicle into the agents. Johnson echoing that claim and saying people shouldn't jump to conclusions without a full investigation. And manhunt underway for the person or persons, Andrew, that killed 2 people and injured 6 others. This happened outside of a church in Salt Lake City, Utah. Police say there was a funeral happening at a Latter-day Saints church on Wednesday when apparently some type of altercation broke out in the parking lot. Shots were fired at a group of people. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. shaking up dietary guidelines. Kennedy's new plan aims to completely cut out added sugars, prioritize protein, push vegetables and fruit, and reduce the intake of highly processed products. He says people should eat more whole foods and end the war on saturated fats.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically coming back and telling me to keep eating like I've been eating all the time when they told me I shouldn't be eating like that. So, cool.
You were ahead of the curve.
Look, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's bit of a throwaway cliche line now, but I'm just gonna eat what tastes good and is not like frozen first, basically, is my approach. And
you
so
can't go wrong.
If I cook it and it tastes good, I'm probably gonna be okay. And you know, in some future scenario, it's gonna turn out that like cholesterol cures cancer and bran will be the silent killer, and you know, and I'm going to be like, told you so. And they're going to be like, alcohol makes you live longer. Told you so. So, you know, just whatever. Yeah. I mean,
Wow.
There you go. That's how I do.
I would believe all of that.
David, thanks so much for the update. President Trump says that he wants to make it impossible for institutional investors to own residential homes. You know, this would be like BlackRock or whatever, all of those companies that have invested heavily in homes and subdivisions, and they create these massive rental subdivisions. We have some of that here in this area as well. I will tell you, I love the idea here because it's awful when those folks are competing against otherwise investors. But it's only about 1% of the market, so it's not a massive slice. And I don't know how you practically pull this off, because if a company can own property, why can't a company build on that property? Like, I'm not sure legally how you manage to make this restriction happen in real life. But I'm on board in principle.